Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and thank you for tuning in tonight.
We just lost Tanya. Tanya, can you call back in? Gina, we got you on here. We're live. This is Tanya Talks. Okay, we're having some trouble connecting here, so just kind of bear with us. These shows, of course, are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit. And let's see, I think we got Tanya up here now. Okay, try it again, Tanya.
Hi. Were you talking about the Whistleblower Summit? I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it's like you're not in the host queue anymore. And I'm like, I'm fired.
Well, what?
Please, Marty.
For some reason, your number was showing up 3 times on the board. So I don't know what that was about, but anyway, go ahead on, girl. You're on.
Oh, well, thanks for having my back. I appreciate it. Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tonight is Sunday, January 20th, 2019, and I don't know how it is where you are, but we have blizzard-like effects, probably about 10 inches of snow, and it's very blustery, and I was even concerned that we might lose some power here in New Hampshire tonight, but it's not blustery enough. So far, so good. We've got an hour show tonight, so we're going to get this thing moving right away, and I hope that this next comment doesn't steer you away from us, but thanks for not tuning into the football game tonight. That's as far as I'm going to go, okay? All right, because you can always have it DVR'd, and we know that you need to be here live with us, and we really do appreciate you and any new listeners that are here listening to Marty Oakley's TS Radio Network that provides not only my show, TNT Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told, but many other very important shows that involve guardianship and unfortunately guardianship abuse and whistleblowing, which Marty was just talking about, of course, and other subjects such as saving our animals, saving our forest, and plenty of awesome round tables. You just never know what you're going to get when you're listening in to TS Radio. But that being said, you always know that you are going to get quality content, quality hosts, okay? I'm not just patting my back. I'm patting everybody else's back here because I know Marty, and I know it's very important to her because she checks up on us to make sure that what we are sharing has been vetted. And that's only one of the many reasons why I love Marty so much in her contribution to this cause of advocacy and our constitutional rights being upheld, as well as many other subjects, of course, that are near and dear to our hearts. So as always, I'm going to let you know I am not an attorney. I am an advocate. I'm a whistleblower. Do blog, believe it or not. We'll get back on that again, and standing up for our rights, our constitutional rights, our human and civil rights, civil isn't that a word that is pretty much self-explanatory? Well, it's written into our Constitution. We have the right to due process. We have the right for that due process not to be contaminated. And if those that are in positions that are either elected or appointed or employed to ensure that our due process is passed on to us citizens and themselves, if that comes warped, becomes corrupt, or even overlooked, we care to bring it to the attention of, first of all, those that might be overlooking it, but if it happens to not be fall into the category of overlooking it, and yet there's oppressions that are taking place that are denying our due process and our constitutional rights at the cost of people's lives, health, well-being, and many times family, then we stand up and we share your stories where others won't. We share your stories because oftentimes you will find the stories are different on the docket. Far too often you will find, when you find yourself here on these kinds of shows and engaged in this kind of advocacy, that that people aren't on your side, not because they shouldn't be, but because there are alliances and collusion, which is illegal, and you're being denied your due process. So as far as what brought me into this world in this particular sense goes, you know, I'm probably beyond any kind of statutes and whatnot, even though when it comes to crimes against the public and criminal law in general, they last for a good long time. I am here to expose the corruption, the incessant, ignorant, criminal behavior, in particular in Oklahoma, that we do know happens throughout our nation, unfortunately, and, of course, you know, in other nations as well. So here we are. We're a year into me being on this show with Marty, which I'm really grateful for once again. And never have a shortage for validated stories. And with that being said, I'm not a lawyer, so I cannot be responsible for any content or error, misinformation that is provided on this show. KLRB 98.9 in Stuart, Oklahoma, liable either. It's a Christian radio station that live broadcasts us several times a month, as well as Today's Voice Radio, Randall Stone's Today's Voice Radio, who rebroadcasts our shows, and as well as of course, TS Radio Network, Marty Oakley, and her shows. All of our shows are archived, and you can find her archives, our archives, on ppjg.net. So you have access to all these shows 24/7. And this is what it's all about. It's about documentation of what's going on throughout our country, and it's advocacy, and it's sharing with you listeners things that are and could be important to you. In particular, the guardianship segment, I think, is extremely important to all of us, because we all have, we are all aging. We all have family members that are aging, and you want to make sure that you know how to protect yourselves. And this is an incredible segment that, unfortunately, sometimes it's sad, but it becomes very empowering when you learn about how to protect yourself. Okay, so tonight we have, who has come on anonymously before, a very brave woman, a woman with plenty of heart, soul, tenacity, intelligence, and wherewithal to step out of a zone that was more comfortable for her behind the scenes, advocating in regard to prison reform in regard to the conditions in prisons and more, and Tina will tell you herself. And she's got a personal story of what brought her into it, which has been shared on this show. And I welcome you, of course, to open up the link that was shared on the Facebook pages of Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed, Journeys to Justice, and Be a Voice Radio Doc, and all these other places where you can find us. So listen to that show so you can get some backstory, because we're not going to get into all of that tonight. But this woman now has a name. And Tina, I know your first name, and I know how to spell your last name, but I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. So thanks for showing up. I know you're working day and night, and on top of that, doing all you do in this with this cause. So thanks for coming on the show, and if you want to share your name with us all and introduce yourself.
My name is Tina Gertz. My husband is wrongfully convicted. We went through the appeals process through the 10th District. We're denied each time, and he was denied his commutation despite getting a college diploma, a degree, becoming an electrician. And he has 17 other certificates, and he served 10 years.
And so can you share with us the 85% rule and, you know, and how Tommy has, like, no scars on his record, and he's pretty much been a stellar inmate, although he's wrongfully charged, and that was in our past show, which we won't really get all into tonight, but also if you can share, you know, the fact that, you know, how the commutation process takes place.
Okay, and there's three phases. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead. I'm sorry. And forgive me, I've got a little sniffle tonight. I've been out in the cold a little bit, so.
Three phases to the commutation process. The first phase, the Pardon and Parole Board is just supposed to look at the jacket. Which is their file, their how long they've been in, what they've done while they've been in, and their write-ups. Tommy did have a Class A write-up when he first went in, which Class A is like the lowest it can go, and his attorney actually laughed about that because it's like it's a joke. Anyway, so he has that one write-up from, you know, 9 years ago, but he's not been in trouble since. He teaches class at the prison to help other inmates. So if they just looked at the jacket, you would think they'd pass him through to the second phase, which is the Pardon and Parole Board looking at his case in detail. And then the third stage would be to the governor. So,
a recommendation.
Denied.
A recommendation is made to the governor if it goes that far to actually release him on early conditions. Or can you explain that to our listeners a little bit?
If they pass him through, it goes to the governor with a recommendation from the Pardon and Parole Board. However, the last governor of Oklahoma did not approve nearly the amount that was going into her office. My personal belief is she liked having people locked up there. She has stock in the prison system in Oklahoma. As for the 85% rule, and I'm trying to find the exact when it started. The voters voted for an 85% rule for violent crimes, but there was two violent crimes listed on there. And since, that list has grown tremendously. I forget there's approximately 15. don't quote me on the number, but it's a lot more now. So they're keeping a lot more people in for the 85% rule, which means they have to serve 85% of their sentence before they can get out.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And but did this actually make it, for our listeners, did this actually make it to the governor's desk?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Tommy didn't even get past the first phase.
And as we discussed in the podcast where that link is provided, where many of you are listening from, and if you would like that link to the podcast, please, once again, just take a look, because it's right at the top of the pages now on the Facebook, Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed, as well as Journeys to Justice. So you can get the backstory just by looking at the link on this promo that many of you, again, have are listening from. So it never made it to the governor's desk. Now, as we are aware, we have shared that Tommy was found guilty of a violent crime. Again,
yeah.
We've gone through all of this and why, you know, there are plenty of forensic documents and things that that could come forward and show different, and things that were denied that were not allowed to be shown into, hence listeners' denial of due process, okay? But despite the fact that he was found guilty, Tommy stands by his innocence, and a big factor when you go in front of a parole board is that they want you to admit your guilt. Is that correct?
Well, it seems that way. They want you to take responsibility for what happened, and Tommy won't do that because he didn't do what they accused him of. So I don't, and in the commutation, when they deny you, they don't give you a reason. So all we can do is question and assume why he would be denied, because he's helping people inside and outside. He's got a very, very good record. Of course, the sentences. Now, the commutation is meant to reduce an excessive sentence. The way I see it, he has an excessive sentence because the state of Oklahoma does not follow federal sentencing guidelines. So they can put you in for as long as they want to. They don't have the same guidelines as the federal government. And so the longer sentences on top of the 85% is why, and on top of the legislators adding more and more and more crimes to what the voters had originally voted on, is why our prisons are so overwhelmingly overpacked, overcrowded.
And what's very interesting, go ahead.
Well, it all works together. Is that you can't, I can't just pick one thing and say this is what it is. I think it all works together, and the wrongful convictions and the longer sentences and the 85% rule and not having the federal guidelines, it's overwhelming our state.
Absolutely is. It's overwhelming the state, the taxpayers. There's plenty of people there that are far beyond the federal guidelines, as you have said, and the focus hasn't been on rehabilitation, although Tommy himself has made great strides and actually fought for his strides in rehabilitation, even and took advantage of the offerings there in prison, even when they tried to hold it back from him and he was retaliated against. I mean,
right.
It's just been one uphill battle after another. So, you know, they make these certain things available, and yet they're not utilized. It contradicts the purpose of corrections. Am I right? These
right.
are correctional facilities. So it contradicts the purpose of corrections, and you're punished for actually wanting to show up and use a computer so that you can get your degree or an additional certificate. So when you come out with this record, which lawfully doesn't even belong to you, if it's truly lawful, and move on with your life and your beautiful wife that is outside in this world, standing up for him and others. And that's what this is what we're getting to. As a result of what you have learned in this process is, lo and behold, a system that you once believed worked, had no reason to believe didn't work, has been a startling experience for you, and it's been through yours and your husband's faith and persistence that you've continued to survive this together instead of let it tear you apart. And so now Tina, listeners, she is standing up for the prison reform and to make, you know, in regard to the fact that it works against what reform and corrections is standing. Also the fact that there are some that are in prison for the right reasons have no right to earn commutation or to be or for anything to be reversed at all. So this is not this, oh, let them all, you know, let everybody come out and just have a heyday and everybody's corrupt. It is far from that.
No.
Not everybody's corrupt. Okay. So
there, I was just telling somebody today, there's good and bad in everybody in every position. Like, I couldn't say all DAs are bad because they're not, but there are some that are, you know.
Right.
Just like
yeah, right.
in any position. So I'm not trying
right.
to pick on a certain group of people or gather, but to some extent you have to. Because the good ones are being pushed out. I spoke to a corrections officer who moved out of state because she was in fear for her life, because she was standing up for the prisoners and the prisoners' rights and their health. And she actually got so afraid that she had to quit her job and move out of state. So, I mean, that's pretty scary.
Right. Yeah, no, it's very scary. And, you know, I mean, listeners, you've heard me talk about several times. We've had guests on here talking about judicial racketeering and missing people and what's happened as a result of those standing out and out. And you've heard of these FBI undercovers coming out and having to leave the state before they did blow the whistle on the FBI. So this, every, you know, these things do make me catch my breath. I'm sure it makes you gasp too, but
mm-hmm.
yet I'm still not surprised because we are coming from a place of knowledge now, but that disgust and it never gets old. It just never
right.
gets old. So, you know, you've got the good people are actually the minority, or the well-acting people are now the minority, as it happens to be in Oklahoma, which is the last state in the country to become a statehood, okay, which helps explain to the listeners just why, we know anybody else that's out there that's involved in this kind of thing, wherever you live, whether it's Ohio, California, Connecticut, wherever you are, what's happening to you, as long as it's real, it's very, very real. The reason mm-hmm. why in Oklahoma it is so incessant is because Oklahoma, once again, the last state in the country to become an actual formal statehood with the laws in force, with civil laws in force. And until then, it was essentially, you know, a sanctuary city where people fled to, and they could not be extradited from Oklahoma if you made it in to Oklahoma. So it's a little, it's got this little bit of an outlaw kind of a thing to it that has still remained in the deep core of Oklahoma in many, many ways when it comes to, sad to say, the government, people who run at the highest levels of the government that will actually turn their backs the evidences of these types of crimes against the citizens. So if that's happening and they're not willing to accept it or even offer it an investigation, not to mention a case number, right? And we know there are problems at the deepest level in Oklahoma, throughout Oklahoma. There still are those good people that then they're forced to leave the state and do their work from there. They show up missing or in jail for the rest of their lives or found non-responsive or threatened. Their families are threatened. So this is very, very real. This is not meant to create fear. It's meant to create awareness of the gravity and the extent of just how bad it really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
When you decided to come out, it was only after Tommy's commutation was denied.
Correct. We didn't want to ruffle feathers, so to speak.
Right.
But now it's time. I mean, his case is done. We can't really go forward with anything. So this is all we've got left. So this is what we're doing. Plug the mark. On March 14th, there's going to be a rally at the Capitol for wrongful conviction, corruption, the 85% rule, and the prison conditions in Oklahoma. Because something's got to change. They want millions and millions of dollars to fix up these prisons, but if they'd actually give prisoners a second chance, Not everybody's going to succeed, don't get me wrong. And not everybody will change while they're in prison. Those who do change and want to do better and be better deserve a second chance and don't get it. Can I read something, Tommy?
Yes, please. So every now and then, why don't you introduce this, okay?
Okay, every now and then Tommy writes something for me to post on Facebook to the groups. Usually it's inspirational, but now, you know, we're fighting for what's right. And this is his perspective from the inside. And it's funny because I just got my mail today. And this was in here, and then Tommy asked me to be on the show, so it worked out perfectly. He wrote, "Hello all, several of you have signed on to join the rally in March, and I want to personally thank you for your willingness to demand change. We need everyone to get involved, though. If you have not responded yet, we need you. If you have responded but have family or friends who want to see changes to our current system of incarceration, please get the message out to them. Time is limited to sign up, and there has not been such a willingness to bring bring in change during my decade of incarceration. Now is the time to make yourselves heard. Even if you don't have a loved one behind bars, this should matter to you. Oklahoma incarcerates more of its citizens per capita than anywhere else in the world. That sucks up billions of tax dollars every year, which comes out of your pocket, out of our schools, out of our healthcare system, out of our nursing homes, our rehabilitation services, our roads, our infrastructure. Everyone is affected in multiple ways, and the current system has failed everyone miserably. Extensive prison sentences do not produce better citizens. If a person is going to change, they will do so pretty quickly after incarceration. I am all for locking people up if they break the law, but doing so longer than it takes to change their behavior makes no sense. Every year we are locked away, we lose more of our family, more friends, more of our humanity, and more of our sense of reality. Our lives stop as the rest of the world passes by us. I have never used a smartphone, been on Facebook, or used GPS. Can't be a husband, father, or grandfather. I can't earn a paycheck, pay taxes or bills, or help my aging family. I have done all that I possibly can to improve myself in here and just need a chance to do my part in improving the world instead of being a drain on society. Wasting another 5 years makes no sense. I cannot just sit here and tell my children and grandchildren their education doesn't matter, or tell my aging loved ones that their health care has to go downhill because I'm okay with the way things are. Can you? Please stand up for yourselves and give everyone you care for. Please stand up for yourselves and for everyone you care for. Please demand change. God bless. Tommy.
Yeah, I always get goosebumps every time there's a message from Tommy that you post. He's just, and then on top of that to know that, you know, he's an innocent man, and he's not the only innocent man behind bars. We have Richard Glossop, who's faced with a death sentence still that was debacled several years back. We've got Daniel Holtzclaw, where DNA evidence has been denied in Oklahoma to prove his innocence, a police officer who was basically set up to calm down the Black Lives Matters movement when they rightfully so were very upset about another black man being shot, who was unarmed and unfortunately murdered, and the police officer was found innocent. So Dana Holtzclaw is a scapegoat, and everybody knows it. And then we've got, you know, so many other matters that, you know, where not only are some not guilty, and that particular evidence and retrial is being suppressed as it stands now, but then we have those that have rehabilitation that actually are guilty and you know, have proven themselves, and yet we've got these for-profit prisons that come with a contract that they get charged no matter what, right? And
right.
And there's some issues going on there, and it seems to me from what I have learned that those that are in prison for any extensive period of time that claim their innocence are often, and I understand it's not in your case with Tommy, but are often treated worse than those that actually are guilty, because those that are claiming innocence are the troublemakers, are making people's lives difficult,
right?
Because that would mean exposing somebody that did the wrong thing to them. So
right.
Tommy sat quiet, just made a choice to continue saying, I am not guilty, but this is what I'm going to do in the meantime. And from all I've learned, if you're not willing to admit guilt, even if you're not guilty, that's pretty much an automatic denial. But yet, in Oklahoma anyways, you are not privy to the reasons for a denial. Therefore, that inmate is not made aware of how he or she can improve in the process to be accepted for commutation and become a productive
right.
member of society and less of a burden on the taxpayers.
Right.
Okay. So you, in the rally, you would like, okay, so we've got a new governor. Let's talk about the new governor. Okay. You're there. I'm not. So I know you very firsthand have reached out to Governor Stitt, and can you talk about the new governor and your hopes for Governor Stitt now that he's replacing failing Fallon?
Well, I hope Governor Stitt will change the way a lot of things are done. The fact that he isn't a lifetime politician, I think, will help the state. I hope that he listens to his constituents and doesn't blow them off like some of the legislators have done. I've heard him talk about real prison reform, not just letting out nonviolent offenders. And I understand why they did what they did. You know, as far as the commutations and letting them out, lowering the, that's another thing that the state did. They lowered how much time a nonviolent offender has to serve, but there is absolutely no relief. It just kills me. There's no relief for a person that really has shown change, has shown that he's ready to be a member of society. And it just blows my mind. But I have hopes that Governor Stitt will turn things around. I really do. I've tried to get in touch with his office. I've been unable to do so. But I'm not going to stop trying.
Well, and you know, there's a website, or wasn't there a Facebook page? To gain his attention, to follow
there
through
is, got,
on what his he campaigned on?
He's got Governor Kevin Stitt now as his Facebook page. So I am following
right.
that and always leaving my comments. But hopefully he'll prove. Do you know, and I heard this and I was shocked because I didn't know this, he's only the third governor of Oklahoma who claims Oklahoma as home. I did not know
that.
Oh,
wow.
Apparently, you don't have to claim to be an Oklahoman. It was just wild to me. So,
well, isn't that Mitt Romney, too? That's not his home base, but yet he's out in, what is it, Idaho or Iowa or Mom, I know you're listening, so you know that. You're probably saying that. My mother's listening in right now. As a matter of fact, God bless my mother. She called in when I'm here in New Hampshire. I'm hanging out with my mom. And so she called in at like 7 minutes of because I came upstairs to do the podcast. And Marty said, oh, we've got this phone number on. That must be your guest. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, no, that's Mom. So, Mom, I wish we will put you in the host queue next time, Mom, so you can speak up. but Mitt Romney, he's not from where he is now, a governor, I believe. So, but this one is, and that should be comforting to those that voted into office. And hopefully, as you said, he is not a politician for a living, and that the reason why he signed up for this, so to speak, is something hits his heart, something hit his core, and right. It was appealing. It was appealing to Oklahomans that voted him in. Now, the rally includes prison reform. I mean, prison conditions. Can you please share with the listeners what's wrong with the prison conditions? Because they are prisoners. I mean, are you expecting them to get the red carpet service and you know, the white glove, the plates coming on in, you know? Talk to us. I mean, I know.
No.
I have some pretty good idea, but not all of our listeners do. So what's the problem with the conditions in the prisons in Oklahoma, or some of them anyways?
Well, they're falling apart. The places that people have to live, and these are people, the places that they have to live can be moldy. They have cockroaches. I know one time when I went to visit, there was cockroaches crawling all across the visiting room. And, you know, if the visiting room is like that, you can only imagine where they live, where they live is like.
Right, that's a good point.
They're unsafe, totally unsafe.
Why?
Well, lack of maintenance, lack of taking care of them. They're just run down. They're old. And you're cramming a whole bunch of people, more than you're supposed to have, into this space. It's going to be even worse and unsafe for the prisoners and the guards. If the health department goes, they make an appointment to go. So they hurry and scrub things down and get things cleaned up and put a fresh coat of paint. So everything is hunky-dory when they show up. And even
they're surprise visits. Yeah, exactly. Well,
they're scheduled.
Exactly. So there's time to make things look good. And I'm very well aware that the Oklahoma City Sheriff's County, the jail there, that they were under – they actually – the federal government had to take over because of the habitual violations that were taking place. Now, the federal government comes in and actually does, just like you said, they made an appointment to come and inspect.
Right.
And yet, guess what happens? They said no. They said no. So this is how jaw-dropping it is that, you know, these entities that feel that they can write their own rules above and beyond, you know, the Department of Justice overseeing them because of their failures to comply with the basic civil human, you know, prison conditions. And we've also had Vince Wilmoth. Vince, I know that you liked the show when it was posted. Maybe you're listening right now. We're hoping that you're going to be a part of this rally. And I'll tell you right now, we're hoping that you're going to come on in and have some say, because Tina is setting up speakers. And I know that you've gone around and you're on behalf of the veterans in Oklahoma, and, you know, and very much you have been a victim to the system and shared your story with us. So we hope that you're going to become a part of this and share some information and speak on behalf of this March 14th.
Yeah.
So we'll get in touch with you behind the scenes, Vince. We need to catch up with you anyways as well. So and in Vince's circumstances, you know, he was chosen, one of the chosen ones, to get up and fight pretty much for the entertainment of the prison guards, who was going to win, who was going to provide entertainment, and be beaten almost to death and then, you know, and then brought back to life. And, you know, and Vince was chained up, and he's never had his opportunity to face his accusers in court. He was chained to a toilet with a toxic gas for days naked. I mean, there's incredible abuses that are going on in some of these prisons, far too many than not. Otherwise, if that wasn't the case, it would not be tolerated. And yet it is. Yet the past governor, the past attorney general has failed to respond to the proofs to help them create a just system without the abuse. These prisoners are human beings. Not all of them are the monsters that you might see on TV that, you know, we all want to rip their heads off. Okay, I'll say it, you know. But based on what I have learned, you know, firsthand about these wrongful convictions, about death sentences that have been put upon people that innocent to everybody else except for those that are hiding the proof to be sent to death, I happen to have very mixed feelings about the death sentence because of the corruption involved. And God forbid anybody is put to death that is innocent. How, you know, we're both members of the same pages, a lot of the same pages, where you see 35 years later, X and X is exonerated. We see this throughout our country. It's like, oh, my word.
And that's something people have to think about, too, is that you've seen how many people get out with DNA evidence. Well, there's a lot of cases that don't have DNA evidence. So as many as have gotten off with DNA proof that they haven't done anything, there's that many more that don't have DNA evidence in their case to prove that they didn't do it.
Right.
And even if, I mean, I do not condone any type of crime at all. Even if somebody did something, they're still a human being. There's people who have not been taught their worth. There's prisons in other countries that are actually closing down because they started treating their prisoners as human beings, treating them with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching them that you can do better, you know, and here I feel like it's more just you're all the scum of the earth. I mean, I see the Facebook comments all the time. When somebody gets arrested for something, they're not even convicted. They just get arrested for something, and people hang up. Shoot them. They're going to get you in prison. I think that's horrible. What does that say about society?
Oh, you want to know something? We just had a tragic accident happen here in New Hampshire, and this young woman moved into an apartment with her young family, and the very next day, the landlord was coming in to make the lock child safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the one night that was exposed to potential child unfriendly conditions, where the lock was within reach, her 2.5-year-old daughter, was a fatal night. And this poor child was outside. A couple in the apartment complex or next door reported they thought they heard a child crying about 4 o'clock in the morning. They looked out the window, didn't see anything. At 7 o'clock in the morning, they found this child, or somebody found this child laying there lifelessly. Okay, and so people are online just assassinating this mom, assuming some, not all, but those that are assuming and saying, oh, you know, how awful the parent she must be, and, oh, there's more to it, and blah, 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 when this is the most tragic event
right.
any parent could ever imagine happening, right? Assassinating
mm-hmm.
this woman. And guess what? If she's guilty, I know the county prosecutor, she'll be found guilty, okay? But nothing, no sign whatsoever of any kind of, I mean, this was just a tragic, tragic nightmare for any parent
mm-hmm.
and the assumption of her being a monster, right? So it's so far too often people jump to conclusions. Guess what? Sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. So,
well, and the news jumps on stories so fast that they can't even do the research to see if they're right in what they're saying.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, is that what we call news these days? I just don't know. I'm not so
right.
sure if this was reported in wrong here in New Hampshire. But what I do know is that the knee-jerk reaction of some people was, you know, and again, I'm going to try not to judge them because, you know, they're probably just parents themselves or just can't imagine how such tragedy could happen. You know, they could, that, you know, they're jumping to conclusions. And then there are those of us that are like, oh my God, you know, I can't imagine that. And I'm still so sorry for that, what that family's going through and the suffering that that young life went through.
Right.
So, you know, it's just hard to imagine. And when things are put out in, you know, in the newspaper or when they're suppressed in the court system or whatever it may be, an opinion is formulated wrongfully sometimes, the way that it is put out. And if the documents and if their due process is not allowed, you know, we look at the system and we think it's supposed to work. And you know what? Great. It, you know, it does sometimes. But when it doesn't, people like your husband fall victim
right.
to it. And the only upside to that is that we now have you, as others do. They come out. They stand up for what is right. And against the things that are wrong that are happening and try to make it right, not just only for your case, although it is personal, it's what brought you here, but for everybody out there that is experiencing these injustices that can help formulate the patterns, turn what's going wrong into what's right. Because when you have the patterns that are showing up on paper,
mm-hmm.
then you're able to actually make a difference. And so this is what it's all about. And this has been, you know, this has been my mission here on Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed and sharing these stories. That when you have the same people, you know, showing up, you know, or different people showing up saying the same things about a particular judge, and we can all tell each other stories, or, you know, a prison that's abusing somebody, or a particular prosecutor that has, you know, fallen into the devil's hands, however you want to put it, then we have a pattern. And it is when we have a pattern that we have much better opportunities for success. And that's why we ask people to come forward with their verified stories. So
mm-hmm.
So Tina, you're, you know, knock on wood, going to be in Oklahoma and you're heading up the injustices in the prison reform system, as well as there will be others that are showing up to represent a particular segment of the injustices happening in Oklahoma at the Whistleblower
mm-hmm.
Summit this coming summer. So, and we are putting together a fundraising page for that. So all those that choose to come and stand up for what's right, you know, we can help offset some of those costs, although the Whistleblower Summit is free, but you got to get there and you got to keep a place, you need a place to stay. So Tina has stepped up to the plate. She became public when the commutation was denied and has done so ever respectfully. And you and your husband are just such a perfect complement to each other because you don't do anything without it going by him first. And you're standing up. You're the warrior outside. Bringing other people into this cause for the reform that is necessary. So the rally is March 14th at the Oklahoma.
From 7 to 5.
And it is to show support. It's a peaceful rally, listeners. It is to show support for prison reform, for the conditions, for the transparency, correct me if I'm wrong, of the commutation, and help me out here.
Corruption, wrongful convictions, holding DAs accountable for wrongful convictions. It's mm-hmm. all linked together, and I'm hoping that I'm able to show everybody how it's all linked together. And it really does affect all Oklahomans. We need to turn out in mass to show them that it's not just one or two people, to see that it's a real issue. So I hope everybody will come.
And this is peaceful, folks, okay? This isn't you know, it's not to create shock. There's going to be several speakers. There might be a couple of surprise guests. We are hoping that, of course, Governor Stitt will take notice, as well as some others that will be invited. So Tina herself has put this together. She has reserved this. And it happens to be in the name of Journeys to Justice. But, again, this has been all Tina's doing. In support of the big picture to expose the corruption, and you know, hopefully we can change the lingo to reform in Oklahoma exposed instead of injustice.
Yay.
In Oklahoma exposed, okay? And that that you know, there's an opportunity for education here for those that never would have expected it. And to ask people to step up to the plate, and there is zero tolerance for corruption there's zero tolerance for corruption. But then when you're looking at the cost of, you know, sending an innocent man to jail, when you're looking at the cost of an innocent man losing the rights to his own children along the way, you know, and many, many fruitful years of his life, this is not a fluke. This is happening to more than one person. Tina's brave. She's standing up. She's standing out. And we need to support Tina. And if you have any questions whatsoever on how you can support this cause, please send me an email at injusticeoklahoma@gmail.com. How easy is that? injusticeoklahoma@gmail.com. We're out of time. Tina, I can't believe it happened so fast, but I need to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. You'll be back on again next week with Kevin Armstrong, who represents who?
Okay, Cure.
Similar issues. Thank you all for listening, for tuning in. God bless you, and good night. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.